Welcome back to another edition of the Illinois High School Football Podcast. I'm Northwest Herald sports editor Kyle Neighbors, and I'm joined once again by senior sports writer Joe Stevenson and our statewide high school football expert here at Shaw Media, Steve Soucy. Soucy, another wild week here in week two. You had Maine South and Lincoln Way East meet up as the top two teams in Class 8A. It was a great game. What did you think of that score with Lincoln Way East coming out on top 28-26?
Well, it's one of those games that the result, I think, tells us something, but it doesn't really tell us everything. It tells us that we have two very comparable football teams that may run into each other once again. You might have the opposite result. You might have the same. Two really, really good teams there, and a credit to both programs for scheduling that game, to be completely honest, because, I mean, with the way the playoff system is structured, I mean, you never want to take a loss at any point in time. It'll hurt your seed. I mean, all these other things that come into consideration and into play. So, above all, I mean, props to both of those programs for putting it out there.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about props to those teams for scheduling that game. But, you know, Maine South wasn't taking it easy either week here. I mean, we watched them pummel Glenbard West in week one. Then they lose a tight game at home to Lincoln Way East in week two. The AP rankings came out right before we actually started to record this, Soucy. Maine South only down to number two. Do you think that was fair just to drop them the one spot?
I agree with it because when I look at that list and I say to myself, honestly, the teams below them, do I genuinely believe that they would beat Maine South if they played them? And I don't. So that's the way I voted on my ballot. I don't want to say I'm glad to see that it was agreed with, but that was my way of thinking on how I voted.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's the way I went. I actually went with Homewood Flossmoor at number three. I really think they're impressive the way they've played. How about you?
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, it's hard to get a real good scope of how good they are because, I mean, both of their first two games have been out of state against programs that we know a little bit about, but not a ton, but they've been very impressive when doing it. So it should be interesting to see when we get down the line. I'm not sure exactly what week it is. I think it's week six or week seven when Lincoln Way East and Homewood Flossmoor meet. That should be really interesting because, I mean, obviously those are two of probably the top five programs in the state right now.
Staying in 8A, Joe, I made the case this week when every week I get onto the AP board and I give an update on Fox Valley Conference and McHenry County in general. Huntley was ranked number eight last week, had a really close game with Prairie Ridge, who you know, some people think might be the best team overall in the state, number one in 6A, defending state champ in 6A. Huntley, I made the case that Huntley should stay in the top 10. It turned out people agreed with me. They were number 10 this week. Do you think that's fair? Is that where they should be?
I do think it's fair, and that was a really fun game to watch on Friday night, and Prairie Ridge had a 2.5-minute spurt with a long touchdown run and a couple of interceptions that turned that game around. But Huntley still wasn't out of it. They still came back and scored like three more times. That's a really, really good offense. And Eric Mooney was wildly impressive throwing the ball. I didn't see that from him last year. But last year he was a really good running quarterback and threw a little bit. This year he can throw the ball very well.
Yeah, you look at Huntley at number 10 there. You guys, I think we're seeing it again this year. We saw it last year. 8A just really, really deep. You look at Naperville Central, Naperville North, both putting up good games. You had St. Charles East continues to impress. Homewood Flossmoor, Lions. Seuss, you think we're looking at another deep field in 8A?
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of those situations. I think you have quite a few good teams. I don't know if we're going to go 20 deep like we did last year where we had – you know, the 15-18 game and the 16-17 game, when you look at the actual pairings, you know, you're going, wow. I mean, these are loaded. But I do think there's a lot of depth in the class. I think, I mean, obviously, like we mentioned before, I think Lincoln Way East and Maine South are a slight cut above that next group. But that next group, I think, has 6 to 10 teams in it that can certainly make things interesting on a given night.
Yeah, and then we go over to 7A, and it was a weird week. Well, not just in 7A. I guess I should take that back. It was a weird week for the Southern teams in general, essentially from Peoria South here. You look, 7A heavyweight East St. Louis goes down, you know, playing a really talented team in Evangel Christian. Sacred Heart gets upset by Decatur MacArthur. Peoria Central, who was a champ last year in 5A, falls down to 0-2. Edwardsville, 0-2. And Washington actually surprisingly kind of lost to Morris. So, that's a lot of craziness there, but anything stand out in particular?
Well, I mean, for me, obviously, whenever Sacred Heart loses, that's worthy of note. I mean, this was a surprising loss for me for a lot of reasons. And maybe they just haven't quite adjusted yet to not having one of their leading running backs, Brian Adams, who's out with a broken collarbone. But regardless, regular season losses for Sacred Heart, other than to possibly Rochester, are fairly rare.
6A. He's talking about 6A team and his dog. She likes 6A.
She's a fan of 6A.
You know what? She had been absent the first couple of weeks this year. I was starting to get a little worried.
Well, I've been hiding in the basement. She doesn't like the basement, so that's how we've been staying away.
You know, I was an advocate this week, guys. That speaking of 6A, that Cary Grove should be voted number two behind Prairie Ridge. Looking down, you had Normal West coming behind them, DeKalb, Nazareth, all at 2-0. Joe, do you think that they deserve to be number two?
I do. When you look at what Cary Grove's done its first two games, 13 points. But keep this in mind. McHenry, in the game it didn't play Cary Grove, scored 51 points. Prairie Ridge, in the game it didn't play Cary Grove, scored 51 points. So that's a couple of pretty good offenses that the Trojans really, really held down. So I think as Cary Grove goes through the season, if the defense is that good and the offense gets gets better, which I think it will, I think they're definitely going to be a factor in 6A.
Sue, did you have trouble filling out your 6A ballot this week? I kind of had a little bit of trouble sorting out the bottom.
Yeah, at the bottom, I think there's not quite as much depth in this class as I thought there was.
Yeah, I agree.
Originally, it's been kind of odd. I mean, there are things that you just get used to doing. You get used to ranking Sacred Heart fairly high. I dropped them significantly due to that loss this week. And there hasn't been a lot of teams right now that have just stood out to me and said this is a glaring omission on my part. I'm starting to buy a little bit more into DeKalb. I'll find out a little bit more about them this week. But I mean, you have to look at the usual suspects. I mean, Montini got handled pretty well this week, so it gives you a little pause about ranking them real high. So yeah, you're right. I think there's some issues ranking that lower down.
In 5A, we had five of the top 10 teams lose. One of our area teams up here, Woodstock Marion, we go by Marion Central with them, jumps up to number four. Joe, what have you seen from them the first few weeks?
Well, we thought that this was going to be a pretty good Marion Central team because they had a lot of guys back. They had their quarterback, Gavin Scott, and running back, Brian Nemezek. Several guys on their offensive line, some receivers with A.J. Golombeski and Patsy Ricciardi. And a lot of the guys back, like seven starters back on defense from a team that made it to the quarterfinals last year. And we talked about it before. The question for Marion now is going into the East Suburban Catholic, can it get to the five victories? And that it's such a rough road through there. And if the Hurricanes can get to five or six victories, they could be a factor in 5A, but that's still going to be a tall order.
Yeah, it's really interesting, particularly this week for Marion Central. This was a game going into the year I wasn't sure that they'd be able to get against Bennett. But here Bennett goes out and loses to Niles Notre Dame, which is, you know, a nice team. Seuss, when you're looking at the East Suburban Catholic League, is there anything that stands out to you so far?
Well, I mean, the thing is the same thing that it always says. I mean, you usually got one or two teams at the top of this league, and then it's just an absolute slugfest in the middle, and it's materializing again. I mean, I know in years past there have been times where I like to stack my conferences like a power rankings type of situation. And there have been times that I have shuffled that conference almost from top to bottom on a weekly basis because of a result or something that threw me off. And I'm just getting the sneaking suspicion that that's going to be happening again this year from this conference because it's just so hard. There are a lot of good programs in there. And like you said, I mean, Marion Central is off to a nice start, but they now get into this conference loop where, I mean, potentially, I mean, they could They could win a couple of these. They could win five of these. They could win one of these. It's really, really kind of hard to detect right now. It's such a difficult league. And the other thing that's weird about it too is, you know, you don't play everyone in the conference. So you can't sometimes get a really good read on how teams might match up.
My preseason favorite for the conference was Marist. You still leaning that way?
Yeah, I'm still on board with Marist, but like I said, I usually have a team on top, and then that second group is just everybody punching bag one another. So, and that's pretty much the way it's set for me this year. I believe Marist is the best team in the group, but it also wouldn't surprise me if one of these other teams rose up and picked off Marist, because while I think Marist is on the top of the pile right now, I don't necessarily think they have a rock-solid grip on that spot.
And is probably it was an aberration last year that Joliet Catholic was a one-win team. I think it was 1-8. So, and it looks like that the Hilltoppers are going to be back in the mix too, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And I mean, that last week they hit a little bit of a road bump, but that first win of the season over Geneva, a good solid victory over a good program, shows that maybe the Hilltoppers are on their way back. But they, like everyone else in that league, have to bring a game every week because there's so many good teams in that league. So, I mean, I think you could see a real cluster of teams sitting around in week 9 with 5-3 records, you know, 4-4 records, trying to punch their way into the playoffs because they've all been beating up on each other for the entire season. So you get to 5 of these, Suburban, you're probably going to be okay on points almost certainly, especially those that play pretty solid non-con schedules. But those 4-4 teams, they might be odd man out, even though a 4-5 record coming out of East Suburban Catholic is probably a lot better than a 6-3 or 7-2 in some other weaker leagues.
You know, Washington in 5A fell 5 spots after that kind of surprising loss to Morris this week. But Morris, who is already ranked in 4A, only got to move up one spot from number seven to number 6. You know, 4A is really shaping up. You got all 10 teams are undefeated in 4A currently in this week's ranking. Rochester, I think, is clearly the number one team. Altoff Catholic, it's hard to go against those two guys there. But then you go Hersher, Canton, Johnsburg, and Morris, 1-6. Dixon, Rock Island, Alleman, and Geneseo, and then Mount Zion to close that out. Like I said, all 2-0. Seuss, were you having trouble sorting through this?
I'm not really right now. I feel like there's a kind of a division there. I've got Morris much higher than I have all season long. I believe that Rochester, like you said, is a class of 4A, but I've had Morris right behind him the entire season. I wasn't all that surprised by that outcome. I think Morris has a really good football team. So
really, what about Morris stands out to you?
Well, Morris traditionally has been a pretty good defensive program. I think they've done a nice job of that so far. Offensively, they're not going to blow your doors off, but when you're holding teams down like they did again last week, you're going to be able to be in a lot. I have them slotted for being a 4A team right now. That may change. They may slide up into 5, but I think they're very dangerous as a 4A team simply because, I mean, they're bigger and more physical than a lot of 4A teams are going to be, so they're going to have an advantage there. So I like that team a lot. I have all season. I think it was people, you know, kind of waiting on Morris, and I think you'll see them pick up a slow climb here because that's a good football team. And another thing about them is that they play a very strong schedule for a potential 4A team. So they may take a loss or two along the way, but they're going to benefit more from that than anything else because, I mean, they're going to come into those early rounds of the playoffs that they get into. It's actually going to be a step down for them based on who they played all year long.
So do you have Morris at number 2?
Yeah, I do. I have Morris at number 2 right now.
Is it Altoff Catholic 3 or Hersher 3?
Yeah. I have Altoff Catholic at 3, although I'm waffling a little bit there. But after what Hersher has done the first 2 weeks of the season, if they throw up another big number on Plano this week, I know Plano's down a little bit. I might be flip flopping that as well.
Well, you know, we've seen a couple good Hersher teams here in recent years. Do you think they've been able to take it to the next level?
Well, I think the interesting thing about Hersher is I mean, they had an all-state quarterback last year in Tyler Jones, who graduated, but he barely won that quarterback derby from their current quarterback, Tyler Jarnigan, to start that season. He's an athletic, good player who also doubles in the secondary. He's already got 4 interceptions this year. He's a very good player, and when you add him to the offensive mix that includes a strong running back in Anthony Kuranda and a giant wide receiver out on the edge in 6'9" Tyler Stewart, they've got a lot of offensive weapons that make it very, very difficult for most 4A defenses to figure out who they're going to try to contain.
Number 5 is Johnsburg. They picked up a win against a state-ranked team in Rochelle. I think Rochelle was number 6 last week in 5A. That impressive to you, Joe?
Absolutely. We weren't quite sure what to make of the first one because we figured
70-0 over Plano.
Plano was down quite a bit. But yeah, that really caught my eye that Johnsburg kind of handled the team pretty well that was ranked in 5A. And we have talked, Johnsburg lost quite a bit from that team last year. A few linemen, a great running back in Alex Pete, who's, I believe, number 8 on the IHSA career rushing list. And it's quarterback, but man, they plugged some other guys in there, and they're rolling right along.
110 points in 2 weeks is pretty impressive.
It is.
Yeah. And one more thing here before we get into our games to watch this week. The injury bug has been kind of a pain so far this year. You know, you go through it every year, but it does seem to be standing out a little more noticeably this year, and we had a big one this week with IC Catholic quarterback Luke. I'm sorry if I'm going to mess up his last name here. Is it Riccobini?
It's Bean.
Riccobini. I could not remember. They were the number 1 team in 3A this week. Took a loss to what I always think is a really talented St. Lawrence team, but he's going to be out for the year. Seuss, how does that change 3A?
I don't honestly know if it does, believe it or not.
Really?
Let me preface that by saying he's an extraordinary quarterback. I mean, I saw him through their runs over the last couple of years. I saw him in week 1 against Bishop McNamara. He's very, very good. And I'm not saying that, that they can just afford to lose him and still roll their way to the state title. It's going to be much more difficult now. But that being said, they're extremely talented. They do not look like a Class 3A football team. I believe this team is still the favorite to win 3A, not to discredit anything Luke has done, because he's been an extraordinary quarterback for that program. He's done a lot of great things, but I still think that team has enough to win it again.
Yeah, this would actually really interest the guy. I'm looking at the AP. All right, guys, I'm looking at the AP poll right here. There was 15 votes placed in the poll this week in 3A. IC Catholic got the most first place votes, but finished 2nd in the rankings behind Tolono Unity. IC Catholic had 8, Tolono Unity had 5, and then there was actually 1 apiece from Monticello and Byron. So obviously, there's a little bit of angst for some of the voters at IC Catholic. I think I put them number 2, and I think I went with Tolono number 1.
Yeah, I think personally, from my perspective, if the IC Catholic team that I saw in week 1 were to play Tolono right now, based on what I think I know about Tolono, I'd take IC, and that was my logic. So, I mean, that's just the way I'm looking at it right now. I may find out over the next couple of weeks that they're not able to adjust to the sophomore quarterback that they're calling up to fill the void, and that their running back stable isn't as effective without Luke throwing the ball all over the place to kind of open up running ground. So it's going to be interesting to watch that. But I still think if you're going to make a short list of 3A state title champion contenders right now, IC Catholic better be on it.
All right, let's move into our games to watch for the week. Joe, what do you got for us?
I will take East St. Louis and Edwardsville, which – who would have thought at this point in the season, although they both played very good teams, but they have 1 win between the 2 teams.
Yeah.
And so Edwardsville with a tough loss to Christian Brothers from St. Louis last week, and East St. Louis with the loss to Evangel Christian. So, I mean, they're playing great teams. So I think that's an interesting game to see. Who would ever think Edwardsville might start the season 0-3?
Yeah, absolutely. Edwardsville, it's odd. I think there's a good chance they start 0-3 here, but suits you think, even if they finish 0-3, are they the type of team that can end up 6-3 and really give someone a headache in the first round?
I mean, I haven't got a good read on the rest of the Southwestern Conference yet, but that's certainly something that I think could happen, and has happened multiple times before where Edwardsville has taken a loss or two in the early portion of the season, usually to East St. Louis, and then rattled off the remaining games for victories, because there have been times where one of the Belleville schools or some of the others have stepped up and kind of given a challenge to the two big dogs in that league. But I haven't really been able to figure out whether or not we have any rivals to the throne, if you will. So I think it's perfectly possible that if Edwardsville were to lose the game, or for that matter, East St. Louis, that either one of those two teams could rattle off wins in the remaining six games.
Okay, Seuss, what game are you watching this week?
Well, for me, there are 2 weeks in the season that, I mean, I'll use a golf term here, that are moving days. I mean, there are so many pivotal games out there, and the 2 weeks that are week three and week five, because I feel like if you are a 1-1 football team and drop to 1-2, you've got a lot of work to do. Same thing I feel like if you're heading into week five and you're 2-2 and you drop to 2-3, you've got a lot of work to do. So there's a ton of games out there that are extremely interesting to me, just to kind of get a feel of how these conferences are going to stack up. But the one that intrigues me the most is a game that I would have not even thought would have been on my radar 2 weeks ago, but it definitely is, with Lake Park traveling to DeKalb. These are two programs that, I mean, DeKalb has had some good years recently, but it seems like I'm not entirely convinced, or I'm not buying in yet. And I've been watching them for the rankings for the last couple of weeks, and I've been thinking about it, and I just haven't put it over the edge. And Lake Park, on the reverse, they're 2-0-2, and I mean, I haven't checked to be sure, but it's been a long time since Lake Park has been 2-0. They've kind of got knocked around a little bit in the DuPage Valley, kind of considered to be one of the lower tier teams. But that win over Waubonsie Valley to start the season opened my eyes, and then last week they rallied and came back and got another one against a perennial power that's maybe a little down, but they were able to get themselves to 2-0. So I think this is a great measuring stick for both of those teams heading into week three, a non-con game that will either convince me one way or another on one team, or maybe convince me on both.
Steve, I saw DeKalb late last season in two games when it played Cary Grove and Prairie Ridge, and I believe, wasn't Lake Park like a two-win team last year that beat DeKalb?
Yeah, Lake Park was 2-7. I don't remember where they got their win.
DeKalb one of its losses.
Yeah, so, I mean, but they're an interesting program. Like I said, that the DuPage Valley is a bear this year. So every win that Lake Park can get anywhere is going to help their cause. They're clearly a good football team. I believe they have 18 returning starters back from last year's team, you know, which is sometimes a double-edged sword when you struggle. But apparently these guys learned a lot from those experiences at 2-7. And I think they're a pretty legitimate team. Will give me an opportunity to find out how legitimate.
I'm sitting over here smiling because I remember us crossing DeKalb off last year after that loss. And then they go into the playoffs in March. They were in the state semis, right? They upset Cary Grove.
We considered it an upset of Cary Grove. They played very well that day.
Well, I think everyone should consider it an upgrade.
They beat him by a couple touchdowns in the quarterfinals, and then actually played a really tough first half against Prairie Ridge, and then Prairie Ridge pulled away in the second half of the semi.
Well, I'm going to take Loyola and Mount Carmel this week, a good Catholic conference game. You know, Loyola loses week one to Phillips. I think I know what they are. They bounce back, beat a really good California team this week. I'm ranking them pretty high in 8A. But the thing I'm interested to see is how Mount Carmel matches up. Mount Carmel's had a couple kind of weak opponents here early going, put up a lot of points. Now, we heard Seuss talk about during the preseason that Mount Carmel had a couple high-profile transfers out. So I'm kind of interested to see if this team's for real.
Steve, do you know if Alec Thomas is back yet from baseball?
Yeah, I don't think anybody knows the answer to that right now. He's still playing in the under-18 Team USA Challenge right now.
Okay.
So yeah. I don't know if he's going to be back for that game. That tournament is in Canada. So I don't know what the situation – I haven't checked over the last couple of days to see how Team USA fared in pool play and how they factored that all in. But if they're still playing, I would assume he's still going to be in Thunder Bay. So a lot of people have said that he's playing this week, but I don't think anyone knows officially for sure whether or not he is.
Is he now Carmel's best back?
He's their quarterback.
Oh, he's their quarterback.
Kind of their utility knife, to be totally honest with you. He runs. There was a game last year that I believe, if I'm not mistaken, where he ran for two touchdowns, caught two touchdowns, and threw two touchdowns. So that tells you what kind of athlete and performer he is. He's a gifted athlete. He's very good. He's going to be drafted in the Major League Baseball draft, probably really high. He's a special talent. I think baseball is his preferred sport, but he certainly can show off some major skills on the football field as well.
Well, from what I've saw that he's going to TCU and he may play both, right? He may also play football.
He is committed to TCU and he is, as of now, planning on playing in both sports.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Seuss, before we wrap it up, like I said, Mount Carmel's played two pretty mediocre teams here to start the year, but have you learned anything about them?
I don't really know anything. And the team that we've seen in the first 2 weeks won't tell us anything either, because it's a different team with Alec Thomas than it is without him. So if they have him, how rusty is he going to be? I mean, how much focus does he put on football, you know, in the interim? So, you know, I would lean towards Loyola in this game just based on all the factors that we just talked about. But I still think it has the potential to be an interesting football game.
Yeah, I was actually the lone first place vote for Mount Carmel in 7A because I'm not sure what East St. Louis is right now with Jarrell Anderson being out for the year. And I'm still not buying Lake Zurich. So I went with Mount Carmel. I don't feel great about it, but I also think that that program is showing time and time again that we shouldn't underestimate them.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's just good. It's good for football in general if Mount Carmel is what we expect Mount Carmel to be, because you get used to certain things, and you know, it's not quite the New York Yankees, but it's one of those things that you just come to rely on and expect. And it just seemed very strange to me last year that they weren't in the playoffs. I mean, first time since the mid 80s that you didn't see the caravan in the postseason. So, it's a good thing for the league. It's a good thing for the state if they're performing the way you're used to.
Okay. That'd do it for us this week, guys. Thanks again for joining us, Joe and Steve, and thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.